Well, minority MPs are sounding alarms tonight over what they allege are sweeping breaches of legal protocol in the case of outspoken social media commentator Kevin Taylor. The Supreme Court delivered a striking verdict today, overturning a 2020 bench warrant for Taylor's arrest, with the High Court emphasizing a glaring lack of due process. In a 4-1 majority decision, a 5-member panel led by Justice Omoro Isiful Tanko ruled that the warrant issued by Justice Eric Che Bafo trampled on Taylor's fundamental right to be heard. The court upheld an urgent certiorari application by Taylor's legal team, affirming that the warrant was improperly issued without affording Kevin Taylor his day in court. Lawyer for Kevin Taylor, Peter Okujeto, told Elton Broby on Pulse on Joy News Channel his client is overly uplifted.
So what about a human being or a judge who is just an ordinary human mortal? If he takes positions and delivers judgments or rulings or warrants like he's God omnipresent, then it's very worrying. So what we are saying is that you could summon the person, but you first have to summon the person. And then you ask him to put up his defense. And if his defense is not proper, then you convict him. But in this case, they convicted him long before the facts arrived. So in other words, the judge put the cart before the horse, which is a contradiction in terms. But anyway, if the horse is pulling backwards, then it can be, then the cart can be put in front of, the cart can be put before it. But this cart is moving forward, not backwards.
All right.
This horse is pulling forward.
So basically, he was not given a hearing, which defeats the sacred rule of, you know, letting people tell their side of the story before you can conclude on them.
Yes, exactly.
So what now happens to some of the cases against your client? For example, in 2020, private legal practitioner Ace Anan Ankoman won his defamation suit against Mr. Taylor, and the court awarded him 2.9 million Ghana cedis in damages. Cases of this nature against your client, what now happens to those cases?
My engagement was specifically in respect of the arrest warrant. Cases like Isakuman's cases are beyond the scope of my engagement. Mm. And as lawyers, Isakuman knows what to do.
But how does he feel now, knowing very well that the arrest warrant is off his head?
It's psychologically uplifting, and he's happy to be free.
But the decision has been criticized sharply by some minority MPs. Isaac Bwama Nyako is MPP MP for Afia, and he says the non-arrest of Kevin Taylor prior to the Supreme Court hearing clearly shows an abuse of power by the NDC government.
So that clearly shows you the abuse of power, the abuse of our judicial processes, the lack of respect for the laws of this country. How on earth would an individual with such a warrant of the court pending on him be able to come to the jurisdiction, not get arrested, is able to file an application before the Supreme Court, enter the premises of the Supreme Court, not get arrested, and the matter be even heard by the Supreme Court? This is someone who made such scandalous accusations against the judiciary itself, against a judge who was sitting additionally as a high court judge in the matter, and brought the reputation of the judiciary into disrepute. And properly so, the court had issued a bench warrant for his arrest. And the person had the ability to enter into this jurisdiction, was not arrested. He had the opportunity to file an application on the 2nd of July, and the court on this day have quashed the bench warrant that was issued on him. I find these as interesting times. That does not befit the democratic dispensation that we find ourselves. And so for now, it appears as if the country does not respect its own laws. People can sit anywhere and make some accusations against government institutions. And then when there's a change of government like this, it means the law applies in one government, and then with a change of government, the law changes its color. That is very, very unfortunate. And I think the government led by His Excellency John Dramani Mahama ought to ensure that this thing never had happened in this country.
Finally, what do you make of the 4-1 judgment of the court? The court said natural justice, and that before the judge would order his arrest by virtue of a bench warrant, he should have invited him, and if he declined the invitation, perhaps you can issue a bench warrant for his arrest. But arresting him first when you haven't heard from him was a breach of natural justice.
So procedurally, if a court issues a warrant against an individual and the powers of the state have the means to arrest the person, the first thing is for the person to be arrested, brought before court, and the person can make a case against the arrest and file his processes for the court to either quash it at its level, review its position, or then you take the matter to the next level. So I'm not so much concerned as to the merits of the decision of the court, but as to why the decision of the court, the previous decision, which was still pending, was not activated, why the court did not ensure that the laws worked by arresting Kelvin Taylor and putting him before, placing him in the cells before allowing the matter to be heard.
So that's the MP for Efia there. Let's go on the phone lines now and bring in our parliamentary and legal affairs correspondent, Kweku Asante, who has been providing a background of how this case particularly started. Kweku, walk us through how this case started and the latest.
Great. So it was in 2020, and Justice Eric Chebafor, a High Court judge, in fact, at the time, a Court of Appeal judge with additional responsibilities as a High Court judge, was presiding over the criminal trial of erstwhile NPC government officials who used to be at the National Communication Authority. They were being prosecuted. Kelvin Taylor went on his social media, the shows that he does, and then is said to have made some disparaging remarks against the judge, Justice Eric Chebafor, to the extent that he was doing the bidding of the New Patriotic Party in the court, and that is why he had been promoted as a High Court judge. When this matter came to the attention of the judge, he did point out that was contemptuous of the court, and the comment that had been made by Kelvin Taylor had a propensity of lowering the image of the court in the eyes of right-thinking members of the Ghanaian society, for which reason he issued a bench warrant for the arrest of Kelvin Taylor so that he can be produced before court, so that Kelvin Taylor can show cause why he should not be committed to prison for the third contempt of court. And at the time, Kelvin Taylor, as we know, was not in the country. And so the bench warrant was issued for his arrest, but he was never arrested. In fact, for the last 4 years, as we know, Kelvin Taylor had not been in the country in a way or in any meaningful way that would allow the Ghana Police Service or any other security service for that matter to arrest him in fulfillment of that bench warrant. But Kelvin Taylor, we know, this man did file an application at the Supreme Court asking the Supreme Court to pass the bench warrant issued for his arrest by Justice Eric Chebafor on a number of grounds, mainly the natural justice rule that he was not given a hearing before the judge ordered for his arrest. Today, by 4-1 decision, the Supreme Court did agree with him that he should have been given hearing before the court would have issued a bench warrant against him. So the 5-member panel presided over by Justice Omoro Tanko, Justice Jamefe, Justice Subare, Justice Philip Brightmenter, and Ernest Yaugai, who sat on this matter, four of them agreed with Kelvin Taylor in the presence of Justice Omoro Tanko, who presided, Justice Jamefe, one of the new Supreme Court judges that was just appointed, Justice Subare, one of also the new judges, Philip Brightmenter, also one of the new judges, and then Justice Ernest Gayu, who dissented. So 4-1, the first four judges I mentioned, Tanko, Jamefe, Subare, and Philip Brightmenter, agreed with with Kelvin Taylor, and Ernest Yaugayu, who dissented in this matter, passing that order of Justice Eric Chebafor for a bench warrant to be issued against Kelvin Taylor.
I mean, we know that you've been speaking to some minority MPs. Of course, we listened to the MP for FIA, who is not happy about this particular decision by the court. But what have the others been telling you?
It's been a lot surprising, some of the views that I've heard. A couple of minority MPs that I went to speak to them on this matter, a lot of them declined to go on the record. In fact, I suggested to them that there are those who have suggested strongly that Kelvin Taylor ought to have been arrested by the police since he arrived in the country, because at the time, the bench warrant had not been set aside by the Supreme Court. And some of them actually did tell me that perhaps the police didn't see him and that it's a lot of issues. And so very few of them were willing to go on the record, particularly the minority MPs, to make the point that we just heard the Member of Parliament for a fair made. But a couple of NDC MPs who I also spoke to, a lot of them also declining to go on the record, did say that this was a matter that was squarely within the ambit of the Supreme Court. They believe that the Supreme Court has disposed of the matter and that should end the dispute.
Kweku, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, let's stay on the legal matters and bringing a private legal practitioner, lawyer Martin Pebble, here. Lawyer, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Now, the issue, as I heard from my colleague and from court, is that Kevin Taylor should have been giving fair hearing, but this is a guy who was outside the country. I mean, is it not possible for someone to be tried in absentia?
Yeah, okay. Could you, yes, as a legal principle, let's say in terms of procedure, yes, but there are certain conditions, precedent. Yes, it's usually when. So this one is even a contempt. Not contempt. So let's say the judge issued the summons, right, for him to come. No, they said bench warrant, sorry. So that's the bench warrant that the Supreme Court is even against. So it's not as if there was a case directly against him. That's why from the little that the reports are showing, they're saying that the judge did not summon him before issuing the warrant. Summoning him before issuing the warrant means that make a case against him. You remember the one against Pesa White when he was alleged to have said certain things, all right? So the Supreme Court issued summons against him. You remember the Muntie Tre? Yes, they issued summons against them to come and answer. For you see, and let's all be a bit circumspect. You know, we haven't seen the detailed ruling. But at least so far from your reporters from the Supreme Court, Kweku Asante, etc., they are saying that the Supreme Court said he had not issued the summons. So when you mention the summons, then quickly my mind goes to the case against Pesa White. They issued the summons against him. The case against the Muntie Tre. They issued the summons that come. For such of that, they would, just to paraphrase, the summons would say that on so-and-so date, you said so-and-so, which are contemptuous of this honorable court. And so you should come and answer why you should not be, committed for contempt of court. I'm just paraphrasing. So before the person comes, he knows what he's coming to answer. But from the report you're giving, this one is a straight bench warrant. And that's what the Supreme Court is saying, no, there should have been a summons based on the Muntie Tre, based on the election, say, John and Co., all those, you remember, election 2012 petition, etc., all of them.
I mean, so the point is that the man was in the state. The case was happening in Ghana. So the Supreme Court is saying that if this judge had issued that call on Kevin Taylor to come, Kevin Taylor would have. I mean, we also understand that there was that invite to him that he didn't honor.
Kojo, this one's that we're on a slippery slope. From what your reporters, I haven't heard that side. So we should all hold our horses. Let's not begin to say things that will turn out not to be borne out by the judgment. I'm not aware of this side. And then also quickly, let me add that the earlier comment by one of the interviewees talking about lack of due process, etc. We're here. I'm not equalizing it, but I'm just reminding you that it means the Supreme Court is broadening the scope of freedom of speech, right? I see a broadening of the scope of freedom of speech. Kennedy Japan. A lot of insults at Justice Wuntawuni, etc. The case went to court, and in Japan, the Supreme Court prohibited Justice Wuni from going to rate. Mm. Long story short, eventually we heard that Kennedy Japan had been called quietly, some proceedings went on, and Kennedy Japan had been let go. At that time, the current minority didn't find anything wrong. I'm not equalizing, but such things, what I'm doing, the argument is that if at that time we thought that that is broadening the scope of free speech, etc., why would today a similar thing appear to rather be a retrogression of the democracy?
But his argument is that once the bench warrant had been issued against him, he should first of all have been picked up. before the Supreme Court overturns it. Once that has not been done, he says that it's not due process. You disagree?
I disagree. I vehemently disagree. If you don't find the person, you see, the name of the game is evidence. The name of the game is evidence. Has he adduced evidence that he, what's his name, the one, the interview, what's his name?
He's the MP for FIA. I think he goes by the name Isaac Buamanyako. Yeah.
Isaac Buamanyako. Has he said that, look, he found Kevin Taylor in so and so hotel, reported to the police, and the police failed to arrest? I think the way we are rushing to politicize everything, it's not healthy.
But lawyer, I mean, the guy came into the country, first of all. He came through the airport, lodged somewhere before he went to court. He didn't fly into the court. So don't they have a point when they say, so far as he landed in the country, he should have, first of all, been picked up?
No, you see, so they don't have a point when they have not shown you the evidence. So when a person lands at the airport, they have to first show that there was an arrest warrant and that his name had been put on the stop list or arresting. So popularly, you hear a stop list. So that's for those going outside. When they are coming, I don't know his name, but I won't be surprised it's still around the same stop list. Yes, I should think if you are coming. So basically, they will arrest you. So if there's a court order, you've not gone to put it on the stop list, etc., it can't work. How would the immigration people just arrest anybody? About 2 weeks ago, I had a client coming in. Before we got in, he told us we suspected he'd be arrested. Lo and behold, he was arrested at the airport. We rushed there, blah, blah, blah. So there's a list. It's called stop list. That's what I'm telling you, that it appears we want to rush to make comments ahead of
us. But whose responsibility is it to put the name on the stop list when the bench warrant was issued some 4 years ago?
Yeah, so it's the court officer. So if you ask me, on the face of it, it will be the registrar of the court, of course, to be assisted by the there's a person who applied for it. But if the judge issued it all by himself, then he's the registrar of the court.
So then you okay? But you are saying that because probably his name was not on the stop list, that is why he wasn't picked up. But when he got to the court complex, are we also saying that he could not have been picked up when he got to the court before the Supreme Court would do what they did?
Oh, no, but it will be turning the law on its head.
Okay.
The man has come in. So at that time, he has an order. So he has an application saying that his arrest is illegal and seeking to stop
him. It
will be shocking that that's the very moment that he will be picked up. Once he made it into the courtroom, no, that is too late. The horse has bolted. So until the proceedings are done. Because it would then be an affront on even the Supreme Court. But the man has entered the court to argue his case. And then that's the time the police come and pick him, to take him away. Ghana is not coming to an end. I think some of the time we should be long-termish in our thinking. Sometimes we make arguments that tomorrow will come back to haunt us. When Kennedy Japan, let's keep repeating. He, Isaac Buama Nyako, where was he? When Japan was here vituperating judges, what did Isaac Buama Nyako say? That suddenly today...
Was a warrant issued against Kennedy Japan?
No, but what is worse than the comments that Kennedy Japan made against the judge? What is worse than that? This one is a warrant. But the other one, Kennedy Japan made vituperations, sorted the judge. It was terrible. They were here, majority at the time. They gave him sucker. Did they give him up? Then eventually the Supreme Court prohibited Justice Wooney from hearing it. I'm sure they were very happy that the boundaries of free speech had been expanded. Then just 2-3 years down the line, then they are crying in the opposite direction. I don't think this is something we should countenance.
I mean,
when he gets the ruling, he can read. But in the meantime, even the statements he's making, the key thing is that he has not adduced evidence that he found or any other person saw Kevin Taylor, and yet they went and called police. Police saw him and they didn't arrest him.
In the case of the Gifty Owaris on the former boss of the NSS or the NSA, I mean, the security officials were already waiting for her at the airport, even though we understand her name was not on the stop list. How different is that from this one?
The difference is that the person who had an interest in making sure that Owari is arrested was proactive. So let's go back to this one. In this case, when the order was issued, who was to make sure that the immigration people get it? As I said, for me, my mind goes to the registry. When you go to the court, there's an administrator, chief administrator. So if once it's a bench warrant, then the administrator of the court has a key role to play. And also, if it was a party who drew the judge's attention, if somebody drew the judge's attention to the statement, then that person too had a duty to make sure that having been proactive in drawing the judge's attention, that person should have been proactive in following up with the registrar. Have you sent the order? Do immigration have it? Etc. You say it. Yes.
I'm grateful to you, Lawyer Martin Pebble, for helping us to really understand what the issues are when it comes to due process. But even before the Supreme Court's ruling earlier today, ranking member on the Security and on the Interior and Defence Committee of Parliament, Reverend Tim Fojo, raised concerns over the state's perceived protection of Kevin Taylor, alleging he was being housed at the Vice President's official residence. Here's what he said on our sister station at Doom FM.
I am referring to the young man who was hired by the NDC to insult many prominent figures in this country, Kevin Taylor, who according to the court is in contempt and has a bench warrant issued for his arrest. He is currently in town under the protection of national security, which has reportedly placed him at the official residence of the vice president. This is the same residence that housed President Mahama when he served as both vice president and president.
Is this information that you are privy to?
I will give you the full information. We'll come to that.
Really?
But I want. If you want us to deal with it, let's zoom in.
But it's a serious matter. And coming from you as a ranking on.
Oh yes. You see, and it is terrible in this country, sir.
So that's the ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee of Parliament, Reverend Tim Fojo, there, speaking to our colleagues at Doom FM. Well, we have the lawyer for Kevin Taylor, Peter Kujato, on the line. Peter, I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining. I think, unfortunately, do we still have lawyer Kujato on the line? We've lost him there. But we'll try and understand what the issues are. And again, try to raise Reverend Tim Fojo on the line to get more understanding. Okay, we have Peter on the line. Peter, do I have you?
Yeah, you do.
Great,
yeah.
Thank you very much. So, where is your client now? I'm told that, as you told us, he's overly happy. Where is he? Where is he now as you speak?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Now, yesterday we understand that he had been in the country for some time. Was he with you?
No. Our clients are not with us. Normally, they instruct us, and then we meet in court.
So, where was he lodging?
The fact that somebody has engaged you as a lawyer doesn't mean he moved in to live with you or he hangs around you. You take instructions, you meet in court. Thereafter, everybody finds his way for wherever he came from.
Okay. So, do you know where he was lodging yesterday?
That is not part of my instruction.
He is your client. I mean, the minority is alleging that he was being housed at a vice president's house. Is that
not supposed to know the residence of my client? That is not part of my legal instruction. You know the house of my client, or where they are lodging.
When your client posts the vice president on social media and writes "Mama" with love, are people right to then draw the connection between where he was housed and the vice president?
When somebody writes, pardon me.
Post the picture of the vice president, write "Mama" on it with a love emoji. Are people right then to draw the connection between where he was housed?
I'm not an expert on emojis, so I cannot comment on that one.
Okay, so you can't tell us where he was housed since he came into the country?
No, that is not part of my instruction.
All right. I hear. But again, minorities are alleging that there was a breach of process.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to their concerns?
I don't know. I mean, the minority. Our constitution is based on the concept of separation of powers. The legislature is supposed to legislate. The court is supposed to give judgments and do judicial functions. Article 125, clause 3 is very expressed that not even parliament or the president or any agency of both can interfere with the work of the court system. And so the court must, to the majority, ask them to continue to legislate and leave the judiciary to do their job.
So was it also your briefing that the prior to the issuance of that bench warrant, your client was not given that opportunity to come into the country to explain why he should not be held accountable for those comments he made?
If he had issued the order for my client to come to the court at that point in time to explain why, my client would have been here to do so.
I'm grateful, but let me bring in Reverend Intim Fojo, who is ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee of Parliament. He's been saying that he knows where your client was housed. Reverend, grateful to you for joining us here. What's the evidence to prove your case that indeed Kevin Taylor was being housed in the house of the Vice President?
Well, there's nothing to prove. We leave the judgment to the good people of this country. And my comments is not in any way directly responding to the judgment or ruling given by the Supreme Court. But the surprise, the indignation, the disappointment of the Ghanaian people and how the judiciary is being handled generally, particularly as the lawyer articulately, cites various constitutional provisions that go to say or suggest that there should be separation of powers. Yes. But the institutions must also be allowed to work.
But Reverend, you are the ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee, so you sit at a very privileged position. There are things you know that we won't know. You've said this morning that Kevin Taylor was housed at the house of the Vice President. So you may know or have evidence to prove that. You cannot just say we should make meaning out of what you said.
You have a fugitive who has been run away from serving the bench warrant. And then at the time that he even appears or arrives in the country under the full glare of national security, instead of the state, up until today, when the Supreme Court ruled to quash the bench warrant was still in force. Are you aware of that?
Exactly, yes.
So was it not incumbent on the security agencies to hand him over the moment he arrived so that he goes to appear before the relevant court to answer the necessary questions pending, pursuant to the bench warrant? Up until today, at the hearing of this case, where Supreme Court quashed it, it was still in force. July 5th, he's been in this country. National Security received him through Gate 19, VVIP, heavily guarded by security, took him to Prestige Link, housed him in the Vice President official residence. And when this matter came out, and some of us spoke about it, immediately we had some national security personnel were sacked. We had some military officials were reassigned because they thought that they had leaked some information.
So Reverend, you know all of this information. You are ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee of Parliament. What have you done in Parliament to demand answers on behalf of us Ghanaians?
Well, there's a lot that we do, and we expect the media also to take interest, and we leave the judgment to the larger
population. No, Reverend, I mean specifically on this matter. What have you done in Parliament to get the answers for us?
The taxpayers' money is being used to pamper fugitives. It's being used to pamper people who have the reputation and notoriety in bastardizing every important person in this country, including the judiciary. And when there was a bench warrant, he is supported by the state to evade the bench warrant and pampered through and through until he has a ruling from Supreme Court to certify, that is a stake. 6.3 million.
So what will you do? What will you do once you're saying that state resources were used to house him until he got this judgment? There's a cost that you have to fight for Ghanaians. What will you do?
Well, we started the motion, and you will hear it.
I'm grateful to you. That's Reverend Tim Fodjo. He's ranking on Parliament Defence and Interior Committee. This is Top Story.